Good evening.
Evening. Although it feels like it's 9 o'clock.
We'll try and liven your evening up. What can I tell?
Okay. It's getting dark at 5 o'clock. It doesn't seem natural.
I know.
I'm wide awake. It's not sleepy. It's just it feels like you ought to be in there. It ought to be about 2 hours later than what it really is.
And it's getting down to be very cold as well.
Yes, yes. We've taken in our plants and covered plants out in the yard, so I guess we're ready. I just feel for Tony that has to get out in it every morning.
Understood.
And, of course, he's not the only one.
So let us begin with, we're in section 36 of the Suam commentary on the Zohar from Parashah Lech Lecha, and we'll start with Pasuk 432 after we say the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kutshabarichu ishkinke bidhilu urhimu udhilu udhilu urhimu. L'yakta l'shem yudhe bavavhe. V'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. V'ayhino amadunai elinu alinu ma'asei yadenu kunanei elinu ma'asei yadenu kunanehu. Pasuk 432. Wani chale ya ya tir mikahu dikti vizavachta ala veto ilotecha viet shalamecha wigomer bekol hamakom asher az mikir et shimi matu mahu. Azkir et shemi da mila, dikti basot Hashem, li reav uvrito lehodim, lehodiam. The translation. And it, the circumcision, pleases the Holy One, blessed be He, more than all the other sacrifices, as it is written, and shall sacrifice thereon your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, in every place where I mention my name. What do the words I mention my name mean? They refer to circumcision, as it is written, the secret of Hashem is with them that fear him, and he will reveal to them his covenant. So the covenant appears there. My commentary, with Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. I'm asking the question, is it clear to you where the word there is? What is the meaning of the word there?
It's the circumcision, I think. Do you agree or not agree?
I'm rereading it. So I mentioned my name refers to circumcision. But it's also saying the secret of Hashem is with them that fear him, and he will reveal to them his covenant. So the covenant appears there. So I think it's referring to Tehillim 25:14.
Okay.
Or it could be that the covenant appears in the fact that there's no foreskin, which which changes the appearance.
Well, the way I was blessed was in that last sentence that said, the secret of Hashem is with them that fear him, and he will reveal to him to them his covenant. And I'm thinking, even though we knew circumcision was important, and as a convert, really important, in order to enter into a covenant with Hashem. But it seems to me that we've learned so many secrets of just how outstanding this is, that it's like it's a personal blessing to Hashem, from Hashem to us individually, students, to see the value.
We've said that earlier in this section. It is a personal blessing. Because of the covenant, the flow of Shefa really is directed to the individuals. It says earlier that Hashem blesses the parents because they sacrifice the foreskin of their child.
Mm-hmm. For me personally, when I got interested in Hebrew through the names, and looking up and finding over a period of time the meaning of Barbara, and it happened, I looked up Goliath, and that was when I got the sense, oh, Hashem, you're telling his name means without a covenant, and I felt that was what Hashem was telling me. I didn't have a covenant. And it really upset me for quite a while. And that was the turning point for me to begin to let go of what I had been born into. So this word covenant meant a lot to me.
Well, I think the fact that this each one of these verses seems to be bringing so much information and so much light, it's very clear that the covenant, the circumcision, is, as the verse says, it is the most pleasing of sacrifices.
But I think, too, like, let's say that you're sick and you're really depending on Hashem. You know that you have a covenant with him. And I'm thinking in the past before learning all about circumcision. But now that you really see the depth of what the word covenant means, to me it increases your faith. Your certainty.
It does. It does. Absolutely.
So it's deep and humbling too.
I agree.
I think before maybe I thought of covenant more as a contract.
And that's the way most people think of it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really explaining it as a sacrifice. It's very different.
Right.
And there's another covenant, which is called the covenant between the pieces.
Right. That had to do with the land, I think.
Right. It did.
And the salt covenant, I mean, I studied all of those covenants, believe me, when I got that definition of Goliath, and I didn't felt like Hashem was telling me that I didn't have a covenant with him. And so I really, that was 25 years ago, but So I know there's a lot of different covenants.
Well, let's go on to 433.
Okay. I was going to look up Psalm 25:14, since I had the Psalm book in front of me.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Sure, I'll wait.
Okay. This one is my little bitty one, so it's a little bit harder for me to see. Verse 14, let's see. The secret of Hashem is to those who fear him, covenant to inform them. My eyes are constantly toward Hashem. That's verse 15. Let me see if there's commentary. Okay, verse 14. The secret of Hashem reveals his secrets to those who fear him, and he teaches them the precepts of his covenant, the Torah. And that's what's happening. I mean, that's what we're doing.
That is what we are doing. But and it's important to recognize the merit to be able to study the Zohar and what difference it is. Verse 433. Hai mizbach adama vadai kimad yamidna vatsreya maketi v'imaz mizrbach avanim tase li remes l'giyura karit kezayar d'ayif De'ihu me'am k'she k'dal u'k'she leva ha'ikre mizbach avanim. In translation, the altar of earth, as I said, the altar of earth is as I have stated. Next, it is written, and if they make me an altar of stones, which is an allusion to the proselyte, who comes from a stiff-necked and stony-hearted people. This is what is referred to as an altar of stones. The commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. The altar of earth is the circumcision. The altar of stone is the stony-hearted potential convert. These are my opinions, questions, comments, thoughts.
I agree. But water falls on that stone just like it did for Rabbi Akiva. And the stiff-necked,
yes,
stony-hearted future proselyte or convert comes around eventually. If they keep on.
Well, they always keep on keeping on. It's just which lifetime.
I think there's something either in the Talmud or something I've read that they expect it to be converts who at the end of days causes a lot of trouble. Now, I don't know if that's a reference to the era of love or it's actually, you know, but I just feel like a true convert isn't going to, you know, that there's a difference, but maybe not. I mean, you never know.
Well, where you have read that is it's written in many places, but but it's really describing that they, because at the end of days you have the Mashiach, there will not be allowed any converts anymore.
Mm-hmm, I knew that.
And that's the idea of the converts causing troubles, because if they can't convert, what are they supposed to do?
Oh, I see.
And the reason that the statement is made, there won't be any more converts, is because once people realize there's a Mashiach, and the Mashiach is going to connect the people to Hashem, and so how do you know that that convert is really a true convert, or he doesn't have an ulterior motive that's inappropriate? But that's because they don't understand that the Mashiach will be a Kabbalist, and he will be able to determine who is appropriate to make the conversion and who is doing it for a wrong reason.
Mm-hmm. I assumed it would be because everybody would want to be a convert.
No, there will always be people who do not want to accept the control of Hashem. I mean, Hashem created us that we will fight being controlled.
Mm-hmm.
It's the old story of somebody, you know, I don't mind doing a specific action, but if somebody tells me I have to do it, forget it. I'm not interested in doing it. And that's just the way Hashem has created the human being.
Well, I guess we have to look at those Bible characters that are good examples, you know, of who followed Hashem.
Yes.
And hold on to that image.
Correct. Let's try one more verse.
Okay.
434.
Okay.
Lo tivne echen gazit mahu divai li'ala le'yab pulchana tekucha brichu velayag yigzar yateya adin she pulchana Acharad yavad ad hakavia ade mineya hau kashulidiliba. The translation. What is the meaning of the verse? You shall not build it of hewn stones. It means that the proselyte should enter to the service of the Holy One, blessed be He, but should not be circumcised until he has forgotten the idol worshipping that he practiced until then, and the hardness is removed from his heart. By commentary, with Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. Idol worship is the cause of a stony heart. Mm-hmm. This is an important understanding that helps our understanding of the Isaiah prophecy about replacing our stony hearts. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I just remembered the 13 principles of Maimonides. That was my test, I felt. When I could say that I believed every one of those principles, then I knew that I was ready for conversion. And there was one that took me longer than, you know, than the others. And that was the idea that Moses was the greatest prophet that ever lived. And, you know, after pondering the book of Deuteronomy and Torah basically saying that, that was my answer, you know, because the Torah says it. But that was my little test of knowing where I stood in my journey, anyway.
The book of Deuteronomy had great difficulty being accepted as part of the Torah. That's why it's called the Mishnah Torah.
Mm-hmm.
The repetition of the Torah.
Right.
Because it wasn't revealed at Mount Sinai, or it may have been revealed at Mount Sinai. We don't know. According to the archaeologist, it was a scroll that was found in the temple, just like the Dead Sea Scrolls are found in the caves.
There's a book called Gathered Stones. I read it a long time ago. It's a person, it was a male author, and he's telling about his journey. And the gathered stones are pertaining to proselytes, but I do remember in the book there were a lot of scriptures that had to do with stones. It was a very good book. It's just been a long time ago since I read it. I still have it. But that book.
Do you remember the name of it? What kind of stones?
It's called Gathered Stones, and it's
Gathered
a story
Stone.
Of his. Mm-hmm. I'll find it. It's on my shelf, and I'll find it and see who the author is and let you know. It's a very good book. It's a good one.
Remember, yes, I understand.
To someone who's
it's contemplating. It's important to remember that the word stone is a code word for the letters.
Yes, I remember that. See, that was one Passover for me many years ago. The stones that the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone, I believe, of someone in the king. And it was in the Passover Haggadah. And that was what stood out to me the most, and I couldn't get it out of my head. And by some, not coincidence, because we know there's no coincidences, but searching out, you know, the meaning of that, I got a book in the mail from one of my friends in, she lived in Washington, and she sent me the Yetzer, what's it called? It's the end of the day. Yetzer Sefira.
The Sefer Yetzirah?
Yeah, she sent me that book, and she said someone had given it to her, and she said, I just don't understand it, so I'm sending it to you. And that's how I got that book. I mean, can you see all the little miracles I had dropped?
Yes, I do understand.
You know, and so in that book, you know, it does tell you that the letters are the stones. And, of course, teaching Hebrew, you know, that meant a lot to me. And then, lo and behold, I find out about King David and his birth from not the particular commentary that we studied and that I sent you, but from that set of books called the Book of, the Book of Our Heritage. It's a 3-volume set. And when I went to Israel, we stayed with one of our friends. This was, I think, our second trip, so it was probably like 1995. And he was an avid reader. At the time, he wasn't married, so he spent money on books. And he gave me that set of books. And there was a story about King David being the stone that was rejected, you know. So, you know, just line upon line and precept upon precept, you begin, you know, you see different words taking on different meanings and a different frame of reference. And stones, the word stones is a powerful one too. So I guess we're like little stones that Hashem picked up and put in his sack or his pocket. And I'm putting that in quotation marks, you know. And I think we have to work on not being stiff-necked and stony-hearted. And I think it's a good thing that we know what's said about the future converts and the problem that they may cause, because we want to be aware of that we aren't part of it. Part of the problem, I should say.
We're out of time, so.
Okay. Is tonight Tikkun Zohar?
Yes, it's Tikkun Zohar.
Okay.
Shalom.
Okay, shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, hi.